Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sutter Talk. I'm your host, Kyle Warren. In today's episode, we're going to be diving into the types of styles of setters that I kind of break them down into: a tracking style dog versus a true style dog. If any of you heard me speak as a guest on the Project Upland podcast back last March, you heard me talking with Nick Larson a little bit on this subject. Let's look at the true style bird dog first. When you're looking at a true dog is a dog that only points via the scent cone, or if literally the bird had just left within a few minutes, the dog might lock up on point in that situation. In today's day and age, and in this country, America in general, is doing testing formats to fit this style bird dog. These types of dogs are easier for an evaluator to assess. 90% of the time they go on point. You're going to step in front of that dog and produce a flush at some point thereafter. I myself have 5 true dogs on my team. They're great grouse dogs. They work and hunt for the gun pretty well. The true dog is going to be a little bit more independent than your tracking dog. Your close working true dogs are still going to be a 50 to 80 yard dog most of the time, and certainly depending upon the lines, whether we're talking Llewellyns, Rymans, or field bred English setters, or even if you're looking at Gordon setters, Irish setters, red and white setters, your different lines are going to have different range naturally. So you have to take that into account, but they do tend to be a little bit more independent than your tracking dogs are going to be, because your tracking dog is going to want to keep you as close to it as possible while it's in tracking mode. Your true dogs in the grouse woods, specifically, from my experiences, are going to be out there 50, 80, maybe at times, if they're not getting any scent, 100 yards. And this means that you're going to see those dogs work less. As stated, they're going to be a more independent hunter. With your true dogs, you're going to find that they have a very high point percentage in terms of point equaling a bird flush. The big determining factor, in my opinion, with the quality of a true dog is at times when a bird does run out from underneath the point, and birds certainly will do that depending upon how dense their cover is and how safe they feel. How good of a job does the true dog do at locating that bird again and pointing it versus running through it and pressuring it, putting it out of shooting range because it wasn't doing so cautiously enough? Given modern technology, we can run our dogs on GPS systems that also keeps track of their speed. In my experience, whether we're talking Llewellyns, other setters in general, or other breeds in general, while hunting birds, at least in the grouse woods, I'm generally finding that the very best true dogs are hunting between 5.5 and at top 7.5 miles per hour. Most of the time, even dogs with great noses in the grouse woods anyhow are going to be overrunning their nose a higher percentage of the time on birds when they start to crest that 8 mile per hour marker. My very best true dogs and the ones that I've seen work grouse the best are going to be consistently between 5.5 and 6.5 miles per hour. Sometimes when I throw some competitive braces of true dogs together, I'll certainly see them get up there around the 7.5 mile per hour range. And while for many setter people, especially in the field bred setter world, that might not be that fast, and especially when you start talking about more open country, certainly in the grouse woods, that's a very fast moving dog. But that gives you a general idea of the speed at which a lot of times on grouse you're going to see a higher success rate, assuming the dog has a good nose and good head on its shoulders. So one of the defining differences with the true dog versus the tracking style dogs is that the true dog really doesn't put its nose on the ground to pay attention to trail scent at all prior to a flush. Once in a while, certainly, as mentioned earlier, you'll see a true dog with a bird that's moved off a point, put its nose on the ground on a scent path that literally is just minutes old. So it's a really hot track. They don't even need to be having their nose on the ground to be tracking that bird, because all the scent necessarily from that bird is not on the ground. It could be lofting, you know, several inches to a foot off of the ground at that point in time. So the high quality true dog will advance when scent off of that point with the bird was running with a degree of caution and bird sense that will allow it to either follow the very fresh track at that point in time or just proceed with caution at a rate of speed that's not going to put too much pressure on that bird accidentally put that bird up. So you could see the high degree of effectiveness with a high quality true dog between their high point percentage equaling bird flushes, and then if they are able after that point where a bird's walked off, that point that they're able to cautiously approach and reestablish point to produce a shot. That's a really great true dog. Now, after the shot work, that's a completely other story. True dogs can absolutely put their noses on the ground and track that wounded bird. They do so often. One of my best after the shot dogs is one of my true dogs. She's always a go-to girl if I'm having trouble locating a down bird and nasty stuff, or winged it and it ran a good distance. So, mind you that the true dog is going to be doing 99% of its tracking after the shot, not before the shot. And if it does, it's going to be on trying to relocate the bird that it had pointed. And that scent is only going to be, again, just a few minutes old at most. Rolling over to your tracking style dog and describing how that dog works. Fundamental difference here is that a tracking style dog versus a true dog will pay attention to ground scent, trail scent, scent path prior to the point and prior to the flushing of a bird. So when you look at that, what that means is that this dog is paying attention to colder scent, older scent. In my experience, to the extent that I can tell based on when I see these dogs and their development, acknowledging older scent, I would say you're talking anywhere from 1 to 2 hour old scent for bird dogs. On birds, they can certainly seem to identify scent that's of that age, perhaps older, but definitely of that age. I've noticed based on these dogs pointing scent where there were birds and launchers in an hour or a couple hours prior. And then I most definitely see those types of dogs, if they're paying attention to that scent of that age there, that definitely seems in a high percentage of the dogs that I run equate to them being tracking dogs when they actually start to get on wild birds where there is trail scent available. In a hunt cover where there is no bird scent available, the tracking style dog will be casting around ahead and around you in circles, just like the true dog would in a hunt area. And if the tracking dog hits a scent cone, they will lock on point. If in their hunt area, the tracking dog comes across trail scent, and the tracking dogs generally when they're running, they don't run high on both ends. They generally are going to be running with their head in line with their shoulders, or between their shoulders and their elbows. You'll see that carriage a lot, and that between their nose quality, their brain chemistry, and their focus, they're going to be paying attention to ground scent as well that becomes available to them. The tracking dog will lock up at first scent, including ground scent, not just air scent off a scent cone from the target source itself, the bird. If the tracking dog has a relatively hot trail and feels that the bird is in close proximity, then it'll just remain on point, wait for its handler to approach, and will produce a flush. If the tracking dog is on point and the trail is older, once the handler gets very close in line or just ahead of the dog, the tracking dog will then proceed up trail tracking the bird. Sometimes this becomes a dead end because the bird had flown away and the track is getting colder, not hotter. And sometimes, often, it'll lead you right to a bird, and you might have along this track several points, several could be dozens, depends on how far it is, if we're talking a 20-yard track or if we're talking several hundred yard tracks. I've seen both thousands of times with my tracking dogs, and I have a handful of tracking dogs myself. The true dog community and the testing dog community would refer to these as false points because they do not produce birds at the other end of that particular point. I've always looked at it as perhaps a more appropriate label would be the unproductive point, but I wouldn't even call that. To me, it's a point and it's a clue. And the dog is actively engaged in honing in on where this bird is. I do find that the most effective manner of tracking in a high quality tracking dog is this fast tracking, and then it'll stop ahead quickly, wait for you to catch up. If the scent is still dissipating because the bird is still moving, it'll continue to do this fast stop and go, until it's in proximity to the bird where it feels that we're going to produce a flush. And then as we get really close to the bird, but the dog can still sense it's running, sometimes literally the dog will be in the heel position with me, taking one step with me. And once that dog stops being in step with me, I know we're going to be getting that flush. The dog locks up. I might step ahead 5 feet to 50 feet, and up goes the bird, often for a nice layup shot. Certainly, the caliber quality of a tracking dog makes or breaks this style of hunting. So if you have a tracking dog and it's of mediocre quality and brains and caution, you know, then often what's going to happen is it's going to be doing a really beautiful job on this trail, but then when it actually gets in close proximity to the bird, it's just going to, you know, keep its head down and pressure the bird too much and cause a flush is not a shot opportunity. So it's really important to understand that a tracking dog needs to really be connected to both bird and gun, and it makes that effort and the amount of caution that dog shows, you know, is pretty incredible. For me personally, this is where I truly define hunting for the gun. You know, the synergy between the dog and the hunter when they're on a trail like that is the reason why I have these dogs, these types of dogs, and live for it. I can certainly see why America has adopted more of the true dog model. Many European style dogs, you'll see these YouTube videos, Facebook posts, you know, where to me the tracking dog is more predatorial. You know, the way in which, you know, apex predators hunt is more like the tracking dog. All apex predators track, you know, so it's a very intelligent manner of hunting. But certainly for bird hunting, it can be tedious depending upon the flow of how a particular hunt goes, when and how many, and what the bird situation is in that particular cover. So the true dog is going to just have a cleaner presentation that, as I said earlier, is going to be easier to assess. And people like that dog goes on point, and 9 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times, there's going to be a bird on the other end of that dog's nose. If you are in a good quality bird cover where statistically in these areas there's a good bird populations, the true dog is going to cover the area much more quickly. So you have to know as a hunter how to work that area to make sure that your true dog has effectively truly covered the entire hunt area that you're searching. That's something that I feel that often gets overlooked with hunting in general, true dogs in general. And I think certainly my search and rescue background here gave me a different perspective over the years of how to clear an area with a true dog, because that's the same kind of way that when I was doing search and rescue, my search dogs would be looking to locate a human being Certainly they'll use whatever scent is available, but the primary mode of scent, unless we're talking about an actual tracking trailing dog that's running in lead with you in a harness, is going to be the air currents. And again, we're talking about 1 to 300 pound scent sources as opposed to the 1 pound bird. So we learn how to use terrain features to our advantage for scent movement. And we also will do, depending upon the terrain features, you know, grid the area with my true dogs minus any substantial terrain features. I very often will grid the area. Again, a 1 pound scent source in understory, certainly as forest bird hunters, and definitely probably early season pheasant hunters, you know, you're not going to have a ton of scent movement over great distances in your early season, and in the forest, certainly not until November sometime. So when you look at that, scent doesn't travel nearly as far as many hunters think it does. Certainly a dog could be pointing a bird and the bird run off of that point, and then it appears that it's a greater distance point than it really is, especially in the grouse woods. But its scent just does not travel as far as most people think it does. When we're talking about a bird that's standing 12 inches off the ground, weighs 1 pound, and is in dense understory and bracken. So when we look at that, your true dog patterns, you know, you kind of mark what your dog's natural pattern is, you know, whether you've trained it to quarter, it naturally quarters, or as my dogs do, generally run big circles around me. So you look, for me, I look at how far that true dog is running circles around me in distance, whether it's on a particular hunt in a particular cover, averaging 30 yards, averaging 70 yards. And again, the advent of and the inclusion of our GPS units today really is a game changer in terms of learning this and being able to effectively cover in a systematic manner that is really helpful to increasing the efficiency of clearing that territory. And when I look at hunt areas personally, I'm always looking at clearing territory. I say, okay, this is my cover. Whether it's a, you know, thousands of acres of contiguous quality cover, I'll give myself an area that I'm going to work, hunt, and clear. And depending upon the type of dog I have, is going to result in how I work that cover. And the true dogs, it's often going to be gridding unless there are, again, substantial terrain features that are going to influence the initial hunting strategy. If your true dog is not covering the hunt area effectively by doing some type of consistent patterning, to me, as a forest hunter, I feel doing big circles around me is definitely one of the most effective forms of patterning, and this is something that dogs generally in the woods that are relatively intelligent will do naturally, unless you really have like a 15 mile an hour wind in the woods mid to later season. You usually don't have prevailing wind patterns when you're hunting forest birds. You could feel the wind on your face and then take 10 steps and feel it on your side, take another 10 steps and feel it on your back. And then when you take into account, again, the understory, and we're talking just like from your knees to the ground, what the wind's doing down there, you know, we're not talking about a consistent enough wind pattern to necessarily dictate an ideal search pattern. But dogs generally will work in consistent manners on their own until they get into bird scent. So you kind of acknowledge, again, what the range is of your dog on that cover, and you want to make sure that your grid lines would overlap when you're going back and forth based on the distance of the dog, so you're maximizing the probability of detection for the birds in your hunt area. And I think that's really critical, whether you're working with a true dog or a tracking dog, but especially a true dog, because they're only really going to pay attention to scent off the ground in a scent cone, not older trail scent. So you could clear a hunt area potentially more quickly with a true dog by far than you could a tracking dog. But your tracking dog very well might find more birds when we're talking about the thoroughness of the search, because they're going to be paying attention to the colder scent, which very much could lead to a bird. And, you know, wind becomes far less of an issue with a tracking dog if they're in a good quality bird cover and they're in bird scent with that ground scent. And again, you'll get some dead end trails, but a lot of times they'll absolutely bring you to that bird, whether it be tens of yards or hundreds of yards. But you need to be a patient hunter. You need to know how to read your dog and trust your dog on that trail. And you need to have your own form of communication with the dog that generally, after first scent and I make sure they stop, if they tell me they're on point, I want them to stay there. And I want them to, you know, commit to that because they told me that they got bird scent. So I'll get up, I'll check it out, I'll send them ahead. And then from that point on, it's this ebb and flow of, cautiously approaching this bird. Now, some of your superstar forest hunters, in terms of bird dogs, will at some point they'll acknowledge they're getting close enough and they'll cast out around and pin the bird in from the other side. I don't see this happen too often in forest hunters. You know, pheasant hunting, you'll see this a lot with your better quality dogs. They'll run around and pin them in. In between, they'll get the bird between themselves and you, the hunter. You don't see that quite as much in the grouse woods. Your really good tracking dogs will be able to catch up to that bird, set up a point that you can step ahead and shoot over them. There's just psychological differences, you know, between the approach of hunting and the tracking style dog versus the true style dog. And I do like when I run my own braces of dogs, I do like to run a true dog with a tracking type dog. And the true dogs learn from the tracking dogs over time and experience that when, for example, I have two sisters, one's one of the best true dogs I've ever seen, one is the best tracking dogs I've ever seen. They're littermate sisters, actually, Pixel and Widget. And some of you that might be listening that have had the opportunity to see them work, you really see how they complement each other. And Pixel, actually, she'll see her sister Widget on a trail, and she'll actually cast around 60 yards ahead and very often find that bird, be pointing it, Widget comes up and honors that point. However, I've also had situations, whether it's that particular bird dog team, you know, or one of my other sets of true dogs and tracking dogs put together, where, you know, the wind will be constantly changing, you know, in the forest, and we'll be working upwind following a trail, we'll say with Widget, and Pixel will run 10 to 20 yards in front of Widget, crossing, you know, the wind, and then she'll work back behind us because that's the direction the wind is working as she's doing her big circles, looking for any air scent, and look for any scent cones of birds in the area. Meanwhile, Widget's been on a track for several minutes or more, and we continue pretty much going in a straight line the direction we were going upwind, and she, you know, locks down a grouse maybe 30 to 40 yards ahead of us, and Pixel ran in between that bird and us and didn't find it. No fault of her own, just that the wind was not in her favor. And Widget was on a track that was getting hotter and hotter and led to a bird that produced that layup shot. So there's benefits to both. I like the synergy. I like that predatorial tracking hunt style with my tracking dog. So that is the type of dog that I prefer. But my true dogs, I love them dearly. They're awesome to hunt over. They're a lot of fun. And when you have as many tracking dogs as I do, sometimes it's a brush of fresh air to be able to have that true dog out there and just, you know, follow it to its points. For me, I like the close working dogs. So certainly dogs that are under 100 yards, and preferably for me, my tracking dogs, again, you know, good ones are going to be anywhere from 20 to 50 yards on average. And if there's absolutely void of bird scent, grouse scent in the area, you know, they might push it out to 70 or 75 yards once in a while. Your true dogs are generally going to be operating, close working true dogs are generally going to be operating, you know, 50 to 100 yards and checking in often as well. But they will be more independent. You will see them work a little bit less. But that's kind of a look at your tracking dogs and your true dogs. You know, when I run them together, we'll just stick with the Pixel Widget example since I've named them in this show. When you have that really good tracking dog like Widget is, you know, I'll stay with her, and she's on trail. I'll follow her to the end of that trail. Even if Pixel goes on point, I'm not going to leave a trail that we've already started because she shoots a very high percentage of bringing us to a bird and getting a good shot opportunity. If I have both dogs go on point at the same time, you know, or I'm with Widget and she's not in scent and Pixel goes on point, I always will go to Pixel, the true dog, because again, there's a 90% chance that I'm going to produce a flush off of that particular point. If you're running two tracking dogs together, that can get really dicey because, you know, certainly they could be on different birds and be 50 to 70 yards apart from one another, and then they both go on point. And then you got this problem where this tracking dog is either holding a bird on a scent cone or has acquired trail and now is waiting because they hunt for the gun. They're waiting for you to get there for them to continue acquiring up trail. So generally with two tracking dogs, if that happens, I'm going to go to the tracking dog that I'm closer to and see what that leads to. So I don't hunt tracking dogs together too much now. We've all seen those videos, you know, that I often will refer to in these types of conversations, you know, where in Europe you'll see these two dogs that, you know, they're 2 to 5 feet apart from each other and they're responding constantly to one another, honoring each other, and they're very in sync. And that, to me, that's a beautiful thing. I absolutely love that look and that cat-like hunting that the tracking dogs do so much. When we're talking about actual effectiveness, it's a little redundant and not necessarily the best, most effective way to have multiple dogs in the woods. But when I pair my tracking dogs in a brace, I do look for tracking dogs that are going to stay together more. And different dogs have different relationships depending upon how well they know each other, whether one handler is working two tracking dogs or multiple handlers are working multiple tracking dogs. That these are all dynamics that influence the experience of the hunt. But certainly when I take two of my tracking dogs out, I'll put them together with the ones that work well together in terms of they stay close together. Again, it's not necessary in that situation to have two tracking dogs on the ground at the same time because they're working the same bird. It looks really cool. It's great for pictures. And it's just an amazing experience as a hunter and a handler. But I try to avoid having the tracking dogs that are more independent from one another. They'll honor each other. They'll work together periodically, but one that's off 50 yards one way, another one that's off 30 yards the other direction, that can be really, really challenging. So for these reasons, I really like to run a true dog with a tracking dog if I'm running a brace. And I think that's going to be your most effective brace in general, even more so than two true dogs. But depending upon what your interests are and your focus are, you know, I think in this country for decades, you know, we have been taking dogs that are innately tracking style dogs and converting them into true dogs because that's where our testing standards are today in this country. And again, has been for decades. And I think that with that, personally, from what I've seen, you're not increasing the dog's ability as a hunter. You're decreasing its ability to reach its genetic potential. The psychology of the tracking dog while hunting is different than the psychology of a true dog while hunting. So we have some very common and standardized methods of training today that have been largely adopted by many people, many organizations, you know, across the country. And they're highly effective in a lot of ways, but they're all focused towards the true dog development. And so if you have a setter and we have these tracking style setters, which is very common, perhaps not so much in the field breds anymore because we've bred away from that type of dog very much so. But most definitely within the world of Llewellyns, we still have a lot of tracking type dogs. And and certainly in our European lines and our English setters, we have a lot of tracking type dogs. I certainly know we have a lot of tracking type dogs within some of our better quality Gordons. I have less personal experience with the Irish and the red and whites, but I would imagine that we have a mixed bag there as well, just setters being setters, and to the extent to which we still have them genetically, historically connected to their setter history. So between these two types of setters, with your true dog and your tracking style dog, one isn't necessarily better than the other. You just have to understand as a hunter, as a handler, how to acknowledge what you have and how to work that dog most effectively. They're just different. Again, one's not better than the other per se. As I said, I really like the tracking style dog and the synergy that it brings me. Very often, you know, when you talk to avid wild bird hunters from around the country, you know, every bird offers its own great challenges in its own environment. Whether we're talking ruffed grouse, like I hunt, chuckers out further west, roosters, pheasants that are running, big old sage grouse that can get their sneakers on, and blue quail, scale quail, down more in the southwest. They all offer some running situations, and that can happen in high frequency from time to time. And a tracking style dog is a dog that in that context a lot of wild bird hunters would prefer the hunt over. Certainly if you're hunting more open country and you could have you're hunting covey birds and they're spread out over great distances, and it's more advantageous to have a dog that is going to be casting and blasting out and around, true dog is fine for that. But tracking dog is also fine, because they're going to get out there, and if they find scent, they're going to do the same thing, even if they're 600 yards out, because that's what your environment offers, and that's the line of dog you have. You know, you could get up to that dog eventually, and it might proceed up a trail and lock up again and produce your point for your birds. So it just depends on the line of dog, the type of dog. And again, something we're going to be going over and over and be having lots of guests on this show about is how, you know, the vast differences and diversity in the lines of all these setters, English Gordons, Irish Red and Whites, you know, that can exist in terms of their range, whether they tend to be of the true dog type, of the tracking dog type, and all the language, the body language that goes into those style dogs. And again, people's preferences. But we certainly in the U.S., favor a true dog by and large in terms of population. That being said, I've had, you know, hundreds of people, you know, over the years hunt over my dogs, and they might be devout true dog people, but when they hunt over some of my tracking dogs, they say, "Wow, that was a blast. That was a lot of fun," because you do get to see the dog work the vast majority of the time when you're in good habitat and the dogs are getting into bird scent. And it's really phenomenal, connected, and fun to be a part of that, you know, quote-unquote hunt. But by the same token, again, I love my true dogs. It's a great, effective form of hunting, as long as you're covering your search area right. And for me, as long as the dog is, 40 to 80 yards on average, you know, and not over 100, but to each their own on that. Depends on how much you like to use your technology and how much you like to see the dog work. For me, it's all about the dogs. People are going to laugh, smirk, scuff, you know, at that comment, because some people are totally fine with their dogs going hundreds of yards in the woods. They might hold a grouse exceptionally well. I just don't want to be hustling at breakneck speed through dense forest over that distance. Open country, sure, very different experience where you can see that dog out there. But most people, even if you're preserve hunting and you're guiding, they want to see that dog work. They want to feel a part of that hunt, and you know they're going to want that dog, you know, under 100 yards so they can experience that hunt more. Doesn't mean it's more or less effective. It just means that it's different and what experience you want to have. And at the end of the day, true dog, tracking dog, whatever the distance is that you prefer, You know, if the dog is holding birds, not bumping birds, and giving you shot opportunities, true dog or tracking dog, you're going to be happy with it. And that's really what matters. So all the differences out there, you know, I respect them all. I respect everybody's personal preference. I want in this show to get everybody that has different opinions and preferences in their setters, and bring them to the show and really just get everybody more informed on each type of dog that there is out there, and appreciate all of them, not just say that this one is better than that one, because within their own sphere that they live and function, of all these great people that are very accomplished with all these different types of dogs, there's a for each type of dog, there's a market for those types of people. And anyhow, we've discussed a lot here on defining the true dog, the tracking dog, how they work, how you should work them. You know, I could ramble on for another hour probably on some of the differences. And this is stuff that we'll be continually coming back to. I'm sure this will pop up in conversations with guests going forward. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. And this is Setter Talk. I'm your host, Kyle Warren. Until next time, give your setter a scratch on the head for me and have a great day.